Now, don't go away, because next on CBS Radio's Comedy Time are those two zany characters of many characters, Bob and Ray.
And now, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, a good evening to you.
And here we are, rolling into another weekend.
Boy, I'll say.
Boy, they roll right by, don't they?
Well, if we're getting into a little cooler weather, it's a little more comfortable. That's one thing that we can be glad of.
Yeah.
The great Bob and Ray Bird is, again, in fine fettle. He always seems to get better toward the end of the week. And we're looking forward to some interesting features tonight, including Lawrence Fechtenberger.
Yes, and Wally Blue has a very interesting
interview.
Oh, I couldn't place this fellow for a second. Curtiers, the wandering CBS accordionist.
Playing with new verve there, isn't he?
Are you playing with new verve? he walked in, I understand, on the Andy Griffith Show and used up 3 of his 5 minutes the other day.
Yeah.
And Andy was as mad as a hen who got hold of a batch of chicken feed, you know.
Oh, bad. Well, that's taking a pretty big... He's got to be careful what studios he walks
into. Go on, Kirby. Terrific morale builder. Kirby!
Kirby Ayres, ladies and gentlemen. His accordion and his tunes.
And his morale building. As I was saying before he arrived on the scene, Wally Blue has a very interesting tape that arrived via airplane not hours ago from Europe. And
days ago.
Yeah. That's right. I knew it wasn't hours ago. So, Joe, if you'd thread that up, let's have the latest Wally Blue interview, please.
Wally Blue, far-flung correspondent for Bob and Ray. Greeting you from the beautiful Isle of Guernsey. Here we're standing in the factory which turns out your Golden Guernsey Super 4, one of the greatest small cars that folks in America are latching onto with ever-increasing speed. The Super 4 for 1960 is being put together on the assembly line here. I'm going to chat with Mr. E. Farnsworth Fotheringill, who is the foreman of this particular branch of the Guernsey organization. What do they call you, E.F., Mr. Fotheringill?
They call me E.F., yes, and I emigrated to the Isle of Guernsey about 12 years ago, Mr. Below.
Where was your home originally, sir?
Terre Haute.
Is that so? And so you're bringing some of the American know-how and ingenuity to your job?
I've picked up a lot of their know-how and ingenuity since I've been here developed.
Well, now, I can't see anything except the assembly line.
No.
All of the cars are covered with...
That's right. This is the new 1960 model, and we have it covered for very good reason. We don't want to have pictures or premature publicity on this automobile, so we do it ourselves.
Keeping it highly secret. When will the folks back in the States have a chance to look at the...
Oh, another 2 or 3 weeks, they'll be able to see this beautiful Golden Guernsey Super 4.
Well, now there's one here with a cover on it, and I want to just point out what I can of the features.
Well, you'll notice that...
Can I reach under it and touch
yes.
it?
Yes. Well, a lot of our work is along the assembly line. You notice, have to work that way. Put their hands under the canvas and more or less feel around.
In other words, they don't even know what it's going to look like when it finishes up.
They don't have any idea. As a matter of fact, I only have a very sketchy idea of it myself.
Let me see what's here. I think I feel a cigarette lighter.
Yes, that's probably right. I recognize that. But then there hasn't been much of a change in that this year.
No, they seem to be the same. It has quite swept-back lines, I would guess.
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't say.
Could you tell me what that little bump there on the, what would be the hood?
Now, that little lump there, I think, is somebody's lunchbox.
Oh, I see. Let's move on to one of the other ones. Each one of these cars covered with the... Tarpaulin seems to have different bumps on it. Are they different models, or
Well, here again, I guess I'm probably the only fellow here that you shouldn't be talking to. As I say, it's
let me
very
deal under this one with it.
Hey, look, I don't know what that is, buddy.
Oh, I guess that's one of your workers.
Hey, what?
He's working in the dark under there, isn't he?
Yeah, you grabbed my rank, buddy.
Oh, here it is. You have it back.
I was just attaching the engine.
Do you have any trouble with spies sneaking into your factory yet? Do they ever...
Well, they attempt to get in from the competitors, you mean?
Yeah, sure.
They've tried to get in here. We caught two this morning.
What do you do with them? Would you
shoot them?
Uh-huh. Well, I think we've had a look anyway at a rough idea of what we can expect from the Super Golden Jersey Super 4 for 1960. And we'll be looking forward to their...
I don't even know whether the motor will be in the front or the rear, to be honest.
Haven't decided that, huh? Or you don't know your...
I don't really know.
Well, it'll be a big hit when it hits the market, I'm sure. And thanks for talking with us, Mr. Fothergill. And this is Radio's Wally Ballou, returning you to New York.
Thanks, Wally. And that's something to look forward to. The new Golden Guernsey Super 4.
I haven't heard about that, but we're looking forward to seeing it. And I'm looking forward to hearing this right now.
Hi, partners. I'm going to explain the difference between ordinary stereo phonographs and Columbia Stereo One. Listen to an oil well on ordinary stereo. Now listen to it on Columbia Stereo One. Man, there's a real 1,000-mile-a-day sound. The difference is Columbia's stupendous stereo projection. Not just a couple of speakers shooting in different directions. Columbia gives you the real thing. Fills every inch of the room with all the sound and feeling of a live performance. And I mean a Texas-sized room. Man, ain't that the prettiest money-making sound? Get down to your Columbia phonograph dealer and ask. Demand to hear Stereo One by Columbia. Why, they start as low as $39.95 for portables, $129.95 for consoles. Somebody count that well, we're losing a fortune.
And now, chocolate cookies with white stuff in between them brings you another episode of Lawrence Sexenberger, Interstellar Officer Candidate.
At the Interstellar Space Academy, preparations for attracting the spaceship carrying Lawrence and Mug are now complete. The giant magnet is in place. The commandant is standing by with Sexenberger's mother and father as local broadcaster Larry Lovegren describes the activity to his listeners.
Hi, everybody. This is Larry Lovegren here with my WI-5MOZT microphone. Talking with some of the people here. As you know, Mr. and Mrs. Sexenberger are here anxiously awaiting the return of their son, Lawrence, the interstellar officer candidate who's been orbiting the Earth at 1 mile. And I think before they do over, I wonder if we might talk with the commandant, sir. If you could explain to those listening here on Walpole just how you plan to get this thing down.
Just covering the whole of Walpole?
Yes, going from one out of town to the other.
Well, as you know, we put on a great campaign amongst the school children to turn in their little magnets. They get in candy boxes and what they can buy at the 5 and 10.
Yes, sir.
They turned them in. We, in turn, melted them down and produced this giant, huge magnet, which will, we believe, by our calculations...
This broadcast is brought to you by Myrtle's Ice Cream Shop on Main Street. Remember, the next time you feel like cooling off with a soothing ice cream soda, try Myrtle's for a never-to-be-forgotten black and white, strawberry, or coffee. Ice cream soda, 30 cents. Two scoops, 40 cents. Okay, Commandant.
Well, now in just a few moments, please, do they have vanilla?
Well, it's not in the commercial.
Yes. In just a few moments, the giant magnet, which is now in place, as you can see over there, will attract the spaceship in which Lawrence and Mug are prisoners to the Earth.
Not a commercial. out that 80 miles an hour can be no fun. So have Steve check your tires tomorrow. Steve, 11 Pine Street, right opposite the big dump.
Well, go ahead, Tom.
Well, that's about it. We were just waiting now, and I'm just getting a signal that the spaceship has been sighted.
Oh, it's the closest point to Earth
when it comes over the
Academy. Let me take over now and describe this, Commandant, please.
Mother,
yes, coming up from the southwest.
Oh, Mother.
You can see the ship bearing Mellish and Fechtenberger. The Commandant is issuing orders now. Yes, they're going to...
Engine men, turn on magnet.
Now the turning on the magnet, you can probably hear that sound, and it's going to attempt to pull from the sky.
Here comes the spaceship, Mother.
It's working. It's working. The spaceship with Fechtenberger and Mellish is slowly coming to Earth. The magnet is working, ladies and gentlemen.
How are you, got, men? Coming to easy now.
The landing of Lawrence Fechtenberger and Mark Mellish. And now, in just a few moments, the door will swing open, and we're sure Fechtenberger and Mellish will step through.
There they are, Mother. Hello, Lawrence.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
Welcome back, Fechtenberger, and you too, Mellish.
Thanks, Commandant.
No more sneering now. We're delighted to be home and back again.
Just this, Larry Lovereth, my W15NOZT8 microphone. I wonder, Mr. Mellish, if I could speak with you for just a second.
Yeah, sure thing, Larry.
What was the most, the biggest disappointment you had while you were going about the year?
Well, we had a lot of them. I guess the biggest one was when those sandwiches arrived, the bacon, lettuce, and tomato, and there was no mustard on it, no mayonnaise on it.
That's right. I'll go along with Mellish on that. That was one of our big disappointments.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if you could tell us something that happened while you were out, something exciting that...
Something that happened? Well, when we got the Polaris, we were captured by them...
Let me describe this, Mellish.
Okay.
Fill in the details. When we arrived at the North Star of Polaris, we were captured by the little people who live there.
What's that, Fechtenberger?
Captured by little people?
Did you say you were captured by little people?
You're trying to make a fool out of the entire Space Academy, Fechtenberger?
It's the truth, sir.
Oh, true, Commandant.
On my school, it's the truth. We were captured by little people.
Yes, I'm sure.
Corporal of the guards.
Hey, this is Larry Lovecraft.
Corporal of the guards, take these men to boarding.
Difficult time sustaining myself.
Hey,
but it appears that Lawrence and Mark are going to have their wig fixed for a few days.
So it seems that the Commandant of the Space Academy doesn't believe Lawrence and Mark's story that they were captured by the little people of Polaris. It would take a lot of explaining for Lawrence to convince the Commandant that they really were. You'll want to be with us next time, and we'll hear Lawrence say,
"Just a moment, Commandant. I think I've taken a picture of them. Here, develop this film."
In the next episode of Lawrence Fechtenberger, Interstellar Officer Candidate.
And I think we have just a second or two to say hello to one or two of the folks here in the audience.
Very so.
How about you, man? How are you?
Jeff. Good. I've enjoyed your program for almost 35 years.
Well,
I've tuned you in
every single morning and night. Well, we've been on at different times, but I don't think quite that long. How about you, sir?
Certainly withstood the ravages of time.
We look much younger than you thought we would, don't we?
Certainly do.
And, I want to thank you for talking to us.
All right.
Well, I don't think you have too much time. I'd like to thank everybody who helps the show along here. Big Cowan, our director, and Ori Martin, and Tom Sheedy, Joe Cabibbo, and Joe Alonzo. And we'll be back on Monday, and we hope you have a nice weekend.
until then.
This is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thoughts.
Just for just entertainment, dial Pat Buck from weekdays on the CBS Radio Network.
KNX, AM and FM, CBS Radio in Los Angeles. CBS Radio in Los Angeles.